B-Pod Studios.
The Sixers were playing a different style game than the Celtics were.
So you're bitching about the refs today.
Yeah, they were terrible.
Oh, my
They're
God.
The reason we didn't win by more, Bob.
No, listen. I'm not picking about the refs.
Right.
I'm picking to the fact that, Bob, you said, as a fan, we have no right to complain. When we do, I'm speaking as a fan, not for the game itself. But as a fan, we did have right to complain because they took some calls from us.
Belial,
okay.
You're my brother, and I love you. This is a ridiculous conversation.
Yeah, sorry, Belial, not today.
Belial, they won. You're literally picking out, you're nitpicking a nitpicker, and that's what I do.
No. See, this is what I'm saying. Some teams need certain calls to win. Like the Sixers are a team that need fouls.
Uh-huh.
If they don't give us some fouls, we want to lose the game. Like, we need, some people need to go to the foul line. It's a part of their game. It's a part of the team. We need those fouls. And if the refs don't give them to us, it's taking away a part of our chemistry to win games.
But they were also sitting, I'm with you, Belial, man. Thanks for the call, brother. That part I agree with, because that they were going for that last night, the Sixers were. I mean, we had talked about this.
The game warranted that, but what are you bitching about? Like, are you kidding me?
You
took it to the hole. You went to the... Joel Embiid went to the foul line 21 times. You outscored the other team by 26 points from the foul line, and you're saying, yeah, but they got calls that kind of weren't there. What?
Yes, okay. So.
Stop. Okay, there was a couple of phantom calls on Joel Embiid. He went to the line 21 times himself. The other team went to the line 16 times. And real quick.
Yes.
I did get a message back from the NBA office.
Okay.
All right. Okay. The reason for the technical foul on Joel Embiid was exactly what our caller said earlier, because he escalated the situation. By getting up and running towards him, he escalated a situation which warrants a technical foul.
Well, you said that.
I think the caller used the word escalate, which was good.
Yeah. Yeah. I only remember him using the word the self-defense.
Well, yeah, he went there.
Or not self-defense. What do you call it?
Well, I'm not sure.
Retaliation.
That's what it was.
It wasn't self-defense. It was retaliation.
Yeah, he was retaliating.
What happened? I blacked out. I don't even know what's happening.
Yeah, all right.
You are listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPN, Burlington, Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio, only from Comcast. Do have to tell you that the 8 o'clock hour was brought to you by Martin Law, the law firm for injured workers. Visit PAWorkInjury.com. 9 o'clock hour brought to you by The Bagster, dumpster in a bag. Get yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to TheBagster.com. On the line with us right now, as I'm sure he will tell us, that the 76ers will now roll through the playoffs and win the NBA title with nobody getting in their way, from NBC Sports Philadelphia pre and post and Temple University and your 76ers, Mr. Mark Jackson. Isn't that right, Mark Jackson?
I wouldn't go that far.
Now, Mark, I love you. I was watching a post game last night, and our producer Jamie caught this as well. This is a big win for the Sixers. Nobody's denying that, but it's far from putting the Celtics in the rearview mirror, correct?
Exactly. Celtics are a scary team. They're very deep. They're very athletic, and they have a lot of scoring, but they also have a lot of athleticism there then, and they can defend any position.
Mark, why did the Sixers win this game? How did they win this game? You look at the depth was a little bit of an issue, considering Aaron Baines missed the second half. Marcus Smart had to leave the game after his flagrant. How did the Sixers win this game in your eyes?
I thought they got tough. I thought Boston made some shots early on. I thought the 76ers picked up the defensive rotations and bought them shots that Boston was hitting in the first quarter. They started missing in the fourth, and the 76ers just started rolling. So I think it was a domino effect of things that was benefiting the 76ers by hindering Boston's success.
Speaking with Mark Jackson, it looked like a game I was watching in the 1980s. And I think I've talked about this before with you, but Joel Embiid was just all about hammering the blocks last night. He was down there. He was going for fouls. He was getting easy layups. He was fighting for layups. He was going to the foul line. It seemed like something that was of a different era. That seems like something we were watching last night.
I agree with you 100%. It was a throwback, right? It seemed like he was in the 90s, burying guys deep in the post, being strong and physical. You know, Joel said something in the press conference, and I have to agree with him. And I think he said, I'm unguardable. I cannot be stopped. And that's the truth. And you know why? Because he hits his free throws. 20 for 21 on foul shots for your 7-foot center. That's unheard of right now. People look at that stat like, well, no, he must have been a shooting guard. Like, no, ladies and gentlemen, that's their center. So for him to be able to do that, you can't guard him when he's burying people deep in a post and not selling him for all those three-point shots. He really impacts the game on a low post area, and he made it was tough for him to guard. Joel was 1-for-3 on threes. I'll live with him shooting 3-to-4 three-pointers max a game.
I agree with that on that one. Now, when it comes to just historically how Horford has played against Embiid, like what is it that has been giving him problems when he's played against him before?
You know what's so special about Al Horford, man? He's a vet. He's been around the block. He's seen all those tricks that Joel does. And he doesn't fall for him. He stays very consistent with it. And one thing to keep in mind, like, the rule is whoever gets the lowest the first normally wins the battle. So when Joel goes to try to back Al Horford down, Al Horford gets so low. He uses leverage. He uses leverage, and Joel can't back him down completely. But last night, Joel was trying to catch the ball 7 feet from the basket and then back him down. He's getting deep position, and you can't do that. You can't guard Joel that way because he's too big, too strong. But then on the other end, I've said it last year during the playoffs, and I say it again. I really believe that Al Horford is the only player in the NBA that can guard both Joel and Ben Simmons. I think he is that mobile and that good defensively.
Mark, what do you see different about the Sixers defense this year? Like last night, it seemed similar to what it was last year, where Boston was just able to run a pick and roll, anticipate the switch, and then boom, you have the mismatch of Kyrie on Joel Embiid or Kyrie on J.J. Redick, whatever it may be, or Horford on Redick. Is there a different philosophy, do you think, this year than last year, and do you think it's working?
I don't know if it's a different philosophy. I just think this team has gotten more athletic, respectfully. I think Robert Covington was great defensively. It was a streaky shooter. He was great defensively. But I think they got more two-way players. Dario Saric, everybody knows, is my guy. I love Dario. But defensively, I think is a big upgrade when you come in with Mike Scott. Mike Scott's a better defensive player than Dario. So you look at Ilyasova, Bellinelli. The Sixers have James Ennis. You know, they brought in players that can play, they can be 3-and-D type of guys. They don't have to worry about guys that's only can play one end of the floor when you had Ilyasova and Bellinelli. Surprisingly, it was just shooters. They couldn't defend. Now it's hard to nitpick the 76ers apart because they got guys that can hit the three on one end and defend on the other. And that's something that Boston took advantage of last year. So I think they got a good mixture of more depth in a defensive end of the court, and it's hard for you to score against them and isolate people.
I speak with Mark Jackson, Sixers pre- and post-game analyst on NBC Sports Philadelphia. Also, not such a shabby NBA career. 9 years in the NBA, Mark?
Close to it. I tried.
A little bit here. Now, here's an issue that a lot of people are having today. Marcus Smart, Joel Embiid. From your vantage point, what did you see unfold in the early goings of the third quarter?
You know, okay, I'm not going to lie. I'm a fan of Marcus Smart. He's a fire starter. He's that goon. Every team needs that tough guy. And for the 76ers, Mike Scott is that guy for the Sixers. But, okay, he might think Joel got it with a dirty screen. I didn't see it that way. And I'm a guy who set a lot of dirty screens. So he didn't hit him with a dirty screen. I just think Marcus Smart was in his bag. He wanted to pick a fight, and he wanted to pick the biggest guy to start with. And Marcus Smart does that sometimes. Sometimes he just come in like, let's see. All right, I'm going to start a fight with you today. And I think that's where he was last night because, first of all, way Marcus Smart normally instigates things, he normally gets about it, gets his hype, and he feeds off that. But I thought that shove in the back while his back was turned, you know, as a guy that's been in a car accident, I just thought about Joel's back. Like, that could have been, Peter said it was a little shove, but he put all his force in that shove, and that man's back was turned, not prepared for it. That could have really been dangerous and caused the injury. So I didn't see that. But Joel getting a tech, yes, because he went back at him. That's the rule. You got to get him a tech. But the Marcus Smart thing was just way over the top, even for Marcus Smart.
What did you make of Brett Brown's performance last night?
Well, I'm a fan of Brett Brown. You know, I think you got to give him credit. You got to give him a chance with talent. You know, I think the reason why people are always calling for Brett Brown's head because we always link him to the process. We link him to the losing the games. And I think that's why Philadelphia fans have a hard time trusting Brett Brown because they link him with losing. But I think once he gets, he has talent. There's no excuse now. And I think he is a good coach. And I think he has enough talent. And I truly believe the 76 team can go far. But remember, they've only played 8 games home. with this new team, with this new lineup. And I think it's hard for anyone. You can bring Phil Jackson out of retirement or even his prime. It's hard to get a team to click on all the cylinders when they've only played 8 games together. No one's that great, not even Houdini.
Yeah, I think Brett Brown is now the 3rd longest tenured coach in Sixers history, but I think he has the 7th worst winning percentage. So, yeah, it's, of course, it's the process years, but I'm with you, Mark. I think people are just sick of seeing him because they associate him with losing.
That's true. That's all it is. So, like, you know, you see how outsiders come on after us, and every day we ask them, how many Brett Brown hangers they got? Like, man, it's bad, it's bad. Even on wins. But I think that's what it is. They just remember Brett Brown. Well, yeah, he's good now. But remember, we was only won 20 games. That's all people remember, because you're Philly fans. We hard on people. You know how it works.
Yes, I do. Mark, with this new starting five, okay, you got Milwaukee. Let's break it down to just the final four in the East, and we'll go Milwaukee, Toronto, Philadelphia, and why am I drawing a blank? Milwaukee, Toronto, Philadelphia, and Boston. Who's the one team that you think will give the Sixers the most trouble should they face in an Eastern Conference final?
I think it's Toronto. I think Toronto, because they have so much depth. They have, it's similar to the Sixers as far as they have two-way players. Guys that can play on both ends of the floor, and they deep. I think, for me, I think the Bucks, I think they go as far as Giannis takes them. And if Giannis, and he's been taking them all year, and like I've been wanting to say before, I believe on your show before, like, I was waiting for them to fall off. I was like, oh, there's no way they can keep the ball like this. There's no way they can keep this pace. But Giannis is carrying them. And you have to double team. You have to make mixed matches for him so it leaves their shooters open. And they're defending very well. So for me, it's Toronto. I think if you can slow Giannis down, I think you can take them out. Boston, I really think 76 have enough depth on both ends of the floor where they can take Boston. Toronto, Kawhi Leonard, that's the team that I'm nervous about.
Mark Jackson, pre- and post-game analyst for NBC Sports Philadelphia, your 76ers as well. I'm going to get a little selfish here, Mark. Talk about our Temple Owls. Dumphy now out. Now Aaron McKee in. Are we in good hands right now as Temple Owls?
Yes, I believe so. Aaron's, of course, a childhood friend of mine. And I wish, first of all, before I say that, Coach Dump was good. I've known Coach Dump since I was a little kid. Ever since when I was starting to play basketball, he would allow me to use his gym and not kick me out. When I was like 13, 14 years old, I was looking for a place to just work out. And I always admire him and love him for that. But now that the Aaron McKee tenure is in, Aaron's going to have success. How much success is yet to be determined, but he's the kind of guy that he's a basketball guy. He's a gym rat. He's always in a gym. We still play pickup 2 or 3 days a week. So Aaron is still there looking for success, and I think a lot of kids can relate to him. And I think the talent, I think you can't win without talent.
Wait, so
you got to be recruit talent.
Mark Jackson and Aaron McKee, you're still playing pickup basketball a couple times a week?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Tuesday and Thursdays, of course. Oh, yeah.
Can I be a ball boy or something? Can I just? I know I can't hang, but I got to be a fly on the wall for that, my friend.
Oh, yeah. It's still competitive. And we'll get Lynn Gray out there, Lenard Stewart. Yeah, we still get in about 2-3 days a week.
Oh, Mike, that is awesome, man. Listen to that.
Yeah, you should go try to play, man.
I don't know about trying to play with those guys.
We saw him with the Globetrotters. He's retired.
I embarrassed myself pretty much. That's what happened. But I'll be over there on the sideline, like clapping my hands, telling you guys good hustle and stuff like that, though. I'm a good energy guy. Mark Jackson, thanks so much for coming on with us. Always good to talk to you. Great stuff, my friend.
Appreciate you guys. Have a good one, man.
Thanks, right, Mark. You too. Listen to that. Still going out there? It's been a while since I played some pickup basketball. Yeah, probably should have before I stepped on with the Globetrotters by one-day contract. Well, at least they got what they paid for. I'll tell you that much.
I mean, you gave it a shot, man.
At least that, and I got to keep the jersey.
That's cool.
All right, we're being joined by another fine friend of the program, a colleague, if you will. Ladies and gentlemen, a 6-foot guard from the Wells Fargo Center.
6'4".
Yeah, 6'4". Excuse me.
Dang.
No, he said court. 6 foot. He didn't say 6'4".
Oh, I thought you said 6'4".
I don't even know what I said.
And finally, a 6-foot guard from Georgetown.
I'm 5'11".
Yes. You're 5'11".
Yeah.
I gave it
an
inch.
Doesn't sound
good.
As
good.
See
you, Mark. Good to see you, Trey.
Right, what's happening?
How are you, buddy?
Some controversy started up a little bit.
Who's this guy?
This is friend of the show, Gabe.
Hey, Gabe. How are you?
Gabe.
Good. How you doing, Mark?
Gabe made us pastaquillos.
Uh-huh.
Closer? Am I warmer?
You were warmer.
Okay. What are they called?
Pasadillos.
Pasadillos.
Oh, okay.
And they were delicious. They're out there, right?
It's like a pierogi, right?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah.
Pierogi, ravioli, yeah, yeah, whatever. It's out there right there if you want to try them a little bit later.
Okay.
But, Matt, there was a little bit of a controversy from last night.
Oh, no.
You actually had to make the announcement.
Right.
The no things on the floor.
Oh, yes, they were throwing things.
What happened?
Well, as soon as Smart got ejected, and boy, that's so cool to, you know, the review, and then they tell you, yeah, that's a flagrant two. And, you know, Marcus Smart has just been charged with a flagrant two. He's ejected. But then right after that, I had to say that Joel Embiid was charged with a technical foul. So I think that's why somebody threw something on the court right after that. Said, oh, yeah, just, you know, you got to get on the mic.
Yeah, sure.
And say, stop throwing stuff. And that's all I said.
Yes, right.
It stopped it like that.
Yeah.
Boom.
Yeah.
Like
the
this is my house.
Yeah, right.
That's right.
It was like, let there be light.
Yeah. Wait, what did Lou Nolan say? Stay classy.
Yeah. Well, Philadelphia, now you've done it.
Yeah.
Stay classy.
Yeah.
So they throw that in. Now, what's interesting, or throw that on the court, rather, but what was really interesting is, like you just said, you're right there as mm-hmm. they're doing all the reviews and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So could you hear if they were reviewing whether or not Joel Embiid threw a shoulder into Marcus Smart first, or were they just reviewing, because I thought they could only review the actual play itself.
They were reviewing both.
Okay.
And we try to read lips when they're doing it, because they're that close to us. Derek Hayes, who's in charge of all the live events there, does a great job. Derek can read lips. I'm like, Derek, what are they saying? He's like, Joel's going to get a T.
Yeah. Well, it was funny. You guys were actually in the shot. Obviously.
Oh, yeah. I know that.
So you see Derek going, you got two T's that way, one T this way. So before the actual thing came out, if you're watching the game, you can see what happened.
It's good to know before they tell you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what it was. And I didn't see where Joel should have gotten a T.
Well, it's funny. I texted the NBA offices and asked, and they just got back to me, and they said he got it because he escalated the situation.
Okay, but he did. He just charged at him. He didn't hit him.
Right.
I hear you.
Maybe he caused the melee. After the little thing hit the fan with Marcus Smart, he pops up. Hey. Next thing you know, guys are grabbing each other.
So the next time we play Boston, when Marcus Smart comes on the court, he's going to get booed forever.
Oh, I can't
every
wait.
Time he walks in that building.
That's going to be great.
Till the day he dies. He is enemy number one.
We did something on pregame last night. We asked callers, who's your most hated Celtic?
Who was
and it brought out such emotion. Well, now Marcus Smart has to join the group. Yeah. But the number one was probably Danny Ainge and ML Carr.
Sure.
Okay.
Like, that's 1 and 1A.
It's almost obscure for me because he didn't hang around for a long time, but I remember him hot-dogging a lot when he did have some good years against the Sixers.
Go ahead.
Antoine Walker.
His name's right there.
Is he really?
First caller last night
Stop
said
it.
Antoine Walker.
I thought I was a man on an island.
He did the shimmy. He did the shimmy down the court.
Did the shimmy, the double looks, all that. And I'm like, I hate you, Antoine Walker.
Yeah.
You're going to be out of the league in a year or two.
Well, and he was.
He's broke now.
Yeah.
So who's laughing? No, that's horrible. I'm not going to enjoy it.
He tipped the ball boys really well. I always heard that story. Yeah, at the end of the season, like Antoine Walker gives lots of money to the ball boys.
Probably should have been a little cheaper.
Probably should have been That's cold blood.
Good for him. Good for him, not for nothing.
He started hanging with MJ. You can't keep up with that crowd.
Nah, man. Like, it might sound cool to go golfing with MJ.
Yeah, once you're gambling and golfing with MJ.
Hey, what do you guys want to do? Like, $10 a hole? How about $10,000? I don't got that. I don't have that. But here's what we were talking about earlier as well, Matt. The vibe in that building. It's been great all year.
Yeah.
The electricity's back. But the Celtics and the Sixers having that rivalry back where you can have an Antoine Walker, where you can have you know, some of those other great Danny Ainge and all that, ML Carr. It seems like, specifically with the rivalry, that energy is back.
It's so true, and it's funny because the players on each team, they don't say they hate each other. Usually when we play another team, like during a timeout, you know, they'll joke around, TJ, well, there's no conversation with any player. And at the end of the game, there's usually everyone goes their own way. It's unreal how much these two teams hate each other. There's nothing on the court. There's no pleasantries. And I love that.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Yeah.
How long have you been doing PA for the Sixers?
22 years.
God, that's awesome, man.
Yeah, Bob Cooney wrote a great article on me.
He did.
It's an easy subject.
Yeah.
I did.
What was it? You're 20?
Yeah.
That was a couple years ago, right?
The thing that was really neat, too, is that we had four Celtic fans sitting right behind us, and they were those obnoxious Celtic fans. Like, every score, they were, like, up cheering, and then towards the end, every time, like, Boston would call a timeout, I would take my mic, and I have a wire on it, and I turn around and I go right to their face, "Timeout, Boston!" And towards the end, I said it, like, three times.
And I was like, I better calm down.
No, man. No, keep that
fight here.
Keep that energy, brother. We love it. By the way, somebody was just tweeting us saying that every time you do the 6 foot guard from Georgetown, man, it's goosebumps.
They get chills.
I'm sure you get that all the time.
Yeah. It's a fun one to say.
Yeah, really.
You know?
Matt Cordley.
Don't need a script for that one.
Matt, great. Thanks for coming down. Thanks for clearing all that up and more. We appreciate
you
coming
down. Can I just mention we're giving away Fleetwood Mac tickets on Ben FM?
Yes, you can. This is the Beasley family.
Yeah. Oh, part of the family.
And you guys changed your station name to Bryce FM, I believe?
Bryce FM for a week.
That's great. Yes. Man. Good for you guys.
Yeah. His first hit.
He did.
A legit hit. Not that minor league scrimmage BS.
And didn't he stop the play to get the ball back?
Wait. Let me get that one back.
I'm going to put that right next to my first big league hit right there. My first big league home run if he got it back. Matt Cord, thanks so much.
Right, thanks for having me, guys.
Follow him on Twitter at Matty Cord. Does the morning show over at 95.7 Ben FM and Sixers PA announcer giving us all the inside scoop on everything going down at the Welgo Center. Let's talk to Hal. Hal, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, how you doing there, guys?
Good, buddy.
Oh, man, that game last night was out of this world. As a kid, I used to go to the games with my father, and we used to see Dr. J and Bobby Jones and Julius Erving and Moses Malone, and the team was actually out of this world. And the bottom line is, real simply, this team gives me the feeling inside with the enthusiasm, the cohesiveness and everything that we could go all the way. I mean, yes, it's only been 8 games, and the more we play together, the better we get. But I see the pieces gelling together. And the fight and the spirit and the enthusiasm and the home court advantage reminds me of those days. I used to go to the games, like I said. Dr. J was my idol. I think Joel Embiid is out of this world. I think if he stays healthy, we're going to go far. The only team that could stop us, I think, is Toronto. But the bottom line is, I know we can take Milwaukee. I know now we can take the Celtics and the Pacers. I don't think there's a better team than us in the Eastern Conference. And my hat's off to Brett Brown because he's an outstanding coach. The bottom line is, he had nothing to deal with. They were in the process for 5 or 6 years. They finally got the right mix of players. He has a basketball mind. He has the ability. He knows how to make the players be motivated and work together as a team. I just want to tell you, this, the enthusiasm and the spirit and the way they came back in the fight, it makes me feel so good inside. And I just got that gut feeling that we're going. We're going all the way. And just, you know, as a little anecdote, my son Randy, who's with me, he's been fighting testicular cancer for 8 years, and he's in remission now for 3 years. And he is the biggest Sixers fan. And the Sixers have made him the proudest kid on the face of the earth. He lost his mom 3 years ago to 3 multiple heart attacks, and his grandma and grandfather. But you know what? God bless you, Sixers, because you make my son the happiest kid on the face of the earth. And I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart.
That's beautiful.
I see you guys going all the way. And it's like, he's still here. He'd be darn proud of you guys. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. And Mandy says, he says hi and says his love to the Sixers. And he would give his right arm to go to a game because he loves the Sixers. And, you know, he hasn't been able to go. But, you know, he was in the hospital for almost 3 years straight with chemo and this and that. And he got most of them. They put the port and the pick line in him. But the bottom line, he fought. And the Sixers have been his heart and soul behind the whole thing.
He's a fighter, Hal.
Yes.
God bless, man.
I want to tell you something. The Sixers make Philadelphia proud. I'm telling you, I feel the same spirit and enthusiasm I felt when the Eagles won the Super Bowl, when we went down there for the parade, when the Phillies won the World Series in 2008. I think this is the Sixers year. Go Sixers!
There you go, Hal. Right, thanks for the call, buddy. Put you in the running. Good luck to you and your family, man. God bless you. You're in the running for our Sixers tickets. Thanks for calling in, brother. 610-632-0975. Going to run through some calls coming up in a few and also let you know the game plan for last night's game from the horses' mouths themselves. Joel Embiid, Jimmy Butler had a great game plan going in the last night. We'll let you hear what that is coming up in a few here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
We'll be right back. watching the process. Man, I'm trying to be dominant.
I'm an idiot.
And you were dominant.
I'm an incredible human being.
And you know what was awesome last night? That the game plan was just laid out afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
This is something I know a lot of people caught afterwards, but in case you didn't, it was a beautiful moment. Game friend of the show, did you catch this? The game plan being laid out?
I did. I caught it when Jimmy said it.
Jimmy said it.
I caught it when Jimmy said it.
You'll hear it right here. Okay, so after the game, Joel Embiid does his interview. And he does his press conference, and he goes to the microphone, and he starts talking about the game and the game plan. Now, the game plan gets laid out. I'm going to lay out some numbers for you that totally support this is exactly what their plan was going into. Here's JoJo postgame.
I told him that I needed him tonight, that I needed this win, and he told me to get him to the fort, and, you know, he's going to take over, and that's what I try to do. And obviously in the fort, he's our best closer. He's the, you know, got to put the ball in his hands in the fort, and, you know, I'm going to do my thing whenever I have the ball, but that was my job tonight, and he showed up, and in the 40 was fantastic.
Now, talking about Jimmy Butler, right? I need Jimmy Butler to close this game out. Well, Jimmy Butler was on the same page. Here's Jimmy Butler post game.
I just tell you, quarters 1-3, I was tired as I don't know what. And I asked Joe before the game, please just get us to the fourth. And I'll do what I'm supposed to do in the fourth quarter. And he did a great job of doing that along with everybody else. And I just made some shots in the fourth. But I think for them to keep us in the game like they did was huge.
Now listen to this. It played out perfectly. First three quarters, Joel Embiid, 33 points. Jimmy Butler, 7 points. What was the goal? For JoJo to give him three quarters.
He did.
What was the second goal? Jimmy Butler to take over in the fourth quarter. Fourth quarter scoring, Embiid just 4 points compared to the 33 he had in the three previous quarters. Jimmy Butler, 15 points compared to the 7 he had in the previous three quarters. That was executed to perfection. Tim in Northeast Philly.
This morning, my opinion, that was the most exciting game since I can kill two birds with one stone. That was the most exciting game and the most exciting play since the 2001 finals when AI stepped over Ty Lue.
Wow.
And then they won that game. With the way Butler shot that and did that pose, that's what that reminded me of, that game.
That was pretty awesome. Yeah, that was a great pose to end that game, man. That was the clincher.
And I believe that the Sixers and Jimmy B and the Sixers put Steph and the rest of the Warriors on notice last night with that fourth quarter.
Ooh.
And I want to give a shout-out to my nephew, Colin Gillespie, and the Nova Wildcats. Good luck in the tournament.
Yeah, good luck, Archbishop Wood alumni everywhere.
That's right.
Damn right. Thank you, Tim. I appreciate it. And in no way do I mean myself, although I totally mean myself. No, seriously, though, good luck to Colin Gillespie and those guys over at Villanova. Michael in Lafayette Hill, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
Good.
Good, good, good. Listen, besides things I take away from that game last night,
okay.
One, the sheer ecstasy of that win was so gratifying to me. I just was just loving it. And the other thing I took away is the Sixers finally matched Boston's physicality.
Mm-hmm.
I think they had it in their mind. Look, we have to come out and be physical with these guys. Enough of this, you know, so-called soft playing. So they gave it to them.
They played tough. Joel Embiid played tough, and we had a little bit of a tough connection there, man. Sorry. But that was what we wanted to see from the Sixers and Celtics really throughout. Really, the Sixers versus the Celtics, because the Celtics had played tough basketball. They had played, you know, bully ball. It was good to see the Sixers be able to throw that back in their face, and it was good to see a guy like Joel Embiid really respond to that and making a point to get down low, to play physical basketball again. And you look at all the shots that he had last night for what, 37 points?
Yeah.
All but three of them were inside the paint. All but three. And right. Those were all three of his three-pointers. He was 1-for-3 from beyond the arc. All but three of them were from inside the paint. Love seeing that from him.
Yeah, and you know, that's where they can really dominate this Celtics team. They discovered it last year in the playoffs too late, but down low is where they can really get them. Ben Simmons last night, who I consider the best post-up player on the team,
eight of his nine shots last night were inside the paint. Now, you can say it's because he can't shoot, but he also was very successful when he was down there. So the Sixers have found something offensively that they can really exploit on Boston. They got to keep doing it.
And I think we all did the same thing, Trey. I don't know if you were in the same boat or not, but when Joel Embiid let his last three fly in the fourth quarter in a close game, I was just, don't you do that.
What are you doing?
Don't you start that.
Yeah.
I had a little bit of the Jamie Lynch, though.
Yeah.
The yes, yeah, no. Yeah.
Never a doubt. Yes.
Stop doing that. Batika in Kensington. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Did I get that right?
Yeah, it's Batika. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great.
Good. I just wanted to touch base on about the referees calling the foul shots and about how Marcus Smart, after he pushed Embiid, why we got a technical foul and what that was about.
Mm-hmm. You want to know what it was about?
No, I'm just saying, like, I think that we should have, like, right to call, you know, be upset with the referees based on, like, calling technical fouls on Embiid for what? Just getting up from the floor when Smart pushed him?
Yeah. Like, that's a technical foul if that's the way it's called. I want Embiid to take that technical foul every time.
Yeah.
Like every time, I don't care if the time is expiring in a tie game, I want him to take that technical free throw or that technical foul.
Yeah, I mean, I just think that it was really messed up on the ref's part to call that technical foul, the technical foul even on Brett Brown, and then, you know, just calling technical fouls just on Embiid for blocking Kyrie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I absolutely loved it. Thanks for the call, Batika. I appreciate it. Put you on the running for the Sixers tickets. I loved that Brett Brown got called for that tech. And Jamie, I heard you saying this earlier. You wanted him to get thrown out of the game baseball style.
I wouldn't have minded it. Honestly, I think it would have, you know, fired the team up.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's not something you do often or, you know, really ever, but there I thought, all right, I'm cool with it.
I feel like he got the team fired up with just getting teed up. And it was after the Joel Embiid phantom foul with Kyrie Irving, where the ref waited to see if the shot was missed or not, then called the foul.
And it was at a real kind of crucial time, because if you watch the game closely, while they're shooting the technical, T.J. McConnell's looking over at the bench, and he's really ticked off, I think, at the defense, at what was being called defensively for the Sixers. And he was kind of going back and forth with one of the coaches. Now, I'm just reading into it, but it certainly looked like that was what was going on. Things turned after that. So, you know, not only did Brett get the technical to fire his team up, but it looked like the conversation with T.J. and one of the assistant coaches might have ironed out some confusion defensively.
Let's get Sean in Philly up here. Sean, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Sean?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey.
What I wanted to say first, I have to congratulate Brett Brown and the Sixers. He's been doing a good job lately, and I had to say that because I'm not a fan of Brett Brown. It's a lot of things that he does that I'm just not a fan of. One is he tends to get Embiid, and I even seen it last night, Bobby the ball, up top in the top of the key or on the perimeter, and I just would like to see them get the ball closer to the area under the basket in the paint. Because we're approaching the playoffs, and Embiid's been handling the ball pretty well, but these defenders and guards, they step their game up and they really like to strip and pick at the ball when the centers put the big men put the ball on the floor. Also his substitutions. It just seems like he's just nitpicking, doing stuff that just doesn't work in the NBA and the NFL and baseball. Some things you just that work, and some things you just leave alone. And the substitutions. What's wrong with subbing one person at a time? Well, why does he have to do so many? I don't understand.
Well, you have a lot of guys in your starting five that you want to give a break to. I'll say this. Yeah, the one guy, one substitution, fine. When it's three, that's where it bothers me a little bit. Two, maybe. But the three, when it becomes a line change, that's where it bothers me.
Also, too, you know, giving you looking out for Embiid, giving him a rest, and also Jimmy, giving him a rest. Wouldn't it just be a lot simpler, and since we're approaching the playoffs again, where the game is played in more of a half-court style, to instead of run and gun all the time, to run plays like pick and roll
Because when I think of pick and roll, I always think of two players, Stockton and Malone, and how unstoppable and how much of a high percentage play that was. Right. And I would love to see that implemented with the Sixers.
Right,
and
Sean.
With Embiid.
Gotcha. I got to cut you off here, but thanks for the call, man. I appreciate it. Put you in the running for the Sixers tickets. I don't think you're going to change your entire style of play at the end of the season, especially when you're trying to figure out how everybody plays together. That's the other hard part of this for Brett. And I'm not making excuses for the guy, but just to explain why he is making changes is he wants to see who can work together. Mm-hmm. And I think he's actually found somebody in James Ennis that can come off the bench and at least give you some good minutes. He's not blowing me away by any means, but on a short bench, he could give you those good minutes in the postseason.
Well, that's what you're hoping for. It's Ennis, Scott, a little bit of TJ, some kind of a rotation of either Boban and or Bolden, and that's it. I mean, that's what you're going to get. You know, that's your playoff rotation.
Boy,
right,
it's
there.
Just Ennis sometimes, man. It's just defensively sometimes.
Yeah, and Scott last night, he was just trying to sometimes do too much offensively, jacked up a couple of bad shots. Like, it gets to the point now, you look at the game, you know, 96 shots, okay, there was a couple bad ones, but you can't have that in the playoffs. Like, you can't have bad possessions in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. No, I thought they played a very smart game last night, especially down the stretch, but for Embiid in particular, to talk about what we were just talking about with our caller, was that he was down low for the vast majority of that game. It was the most I had seen him play in the post really since he's been in the NBA. It was good to see him get back down there again. 610-632-0975. 610-632-0975. Coming up, take some calls, do our takeaways of the day, update our Twitter poll. We'll also say goodbye to our friend Gabe, who was nice enough to bring in the fine pastelillos. Bueno comer. We'll get to that in a second. And also, let you hear the sounds of the game one last time on our way out before we hand it over to Jason and Anthony in the midday here on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Welcome back, everybody. Farzetti and Trey in the morning. Try to run through some calls for you real quick. Sharla, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Sharla?
Hey.
How you feeling?
Very well, especially about last night's game. That game was wonderful. I just wanted to comment and see you guys' opinion on Embiid. He had said that he could play any position. One of the interviews said he didn't want to be known as a center. He wanted to be known as a player that can play any position. How you guys feel about that?
He's not he's got the footwork, but he's not a point guard. He's not a two guard. He's not a small forward.
He's a center.
And what's great is he's a modern day center that I do believe if he wanted to could play, and if it was possible, play in any era. Like last night, he takes you down to the blocks and he plays bully ball. Like you could do that in the 80s. Right. He also has the finesse game where he could mix in at that toughness and play like he could in the mid 90s, like when Olajuwon was playing. Like he is that type of center that can body up anybody.
And that's funny because I was raised in the 80s off of basketball with my dad, and we hated the Celtics. Danny Ainge, you couldn't even say his name inside my house.
There you go. Mm. Thanks for the call, right, Charlotte. I'm going to put you in the running for our Sixers tickets here. Let's get to our buddy Scott in here. Scott and Barrington, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Scott?
Yo, gentlemen of the jury. What's going on?
What's up, buddy? How you feeling after last night's game, baby?
Man, look, I was there.
You were there?
Yes, one of my doctor buddies gave me tickets. Me and my boy went. I'm just getting my voice back. Glad I didn't call out because my boss at work saw me on TV.
Uh-oh.
I would have gone out. But, fellas, great win. Real quick, I know you got to get these other callers. What would you take this team over the Sixer championship team with Moses?
No.
Whoa, no.
No.
Uh-oh.
No. No.
Okay.
No.
Okay.
No. No.
Okay.
No. No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Why? Now, the Embiid Moses thing, would you still take Moses over Embiid?
Yes.
Embiid's got to play a little more.
Yeah, I got to see more from Embiid, yeah.
Okay, thank you. Thank you for that answer. But, fellas, great win, and it's definitely a confidence booster. And that Terry Rozier, go lay down, man. Just shut your mouth. You got beat. So yeah, that's all I have to say about that little bug.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate it, Scott. Here, let's get to this. Terry Rozier last night. Now, if you remember, Game three last year of the playoffs against the Celtics. They're battling, all right? Marco Bellinelli goes to shoot the basketball for a three to win the game. He hits it. Sixers win. Start walking off. But wait, confetti falls. They clear it off. They determine his foot was on the line. They go to overtime. And the Sixers lose. So Terry Rozier, after this game, well, you'll hear the back and forth here with the reporter.
Did you get the sense that, you know, for them it was bigger tonight?
Yeah, I thought the confetti was going to drop tonight. No, I did.
It was a huge, big win. I'm not trying to take nothing away from him, but I thought the confetti was dropping tonight.
I like that this has become the laugh track to our show. This is so soon happening.
For the NBA comedians, sure.
We cue the laugh track. Terry Rozier taking a shot. Says he wasn't taking a shot. He was taking a shot.
A little bit.
Yeah, just a little bit. A little jam.
Come on, you ain't fooling me now.
Shitter!
Anthony in Jersey, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, gang. Great Hi. Show, like always.
Thanks, buddy.
I love your show.
Thank you, Anthony.
Guys, I want to tell you something. We should have killed them last night. How many baskets did we miss at the net? I mean, Tobias missed at least six shots that were layups.
He had an ugly air ball three, man, yeah.
I mean, come on, we should have won at least by 10 points.
Well, here's the thing. When you play the Celtics, I don't expect them to shoot 58% from the floor for an entire half again. They had that going for them in the first half.
Right, right. But the layups are killing me. We can't miss layups.
Mm-hmm. No, you're right. You're absolutely right. Look, Embiid missed a couple,
Yeah, everybody's pointing fingers at Brett Brown. He's not on the court doing these layups. They're missing them. And my favorite thing last night was Brown getting the technical. But yet Brad Stevens did the same thing. Why didn't they call the technical on him?
I don't remember Brad Stevens doing it as animate as Brett Brown.
He was cursing him out. He was cursing him out on the court, and they did nothing.
Oh, I'm sorry, Anthony. I'm going to put you on hold here. We do got to get a Twitter poll update brought to you by Window Nation to round it out for the show. Sam Wilson, what do you have?
This morning we asked, would the Sixers beat the Celtics in a playoff series? And we have just under 2,500 votes today. 58% now say yes.
58%!
1%.
There we go. We did it convincing. All right, first takeaway of the day. I would like to give to our buddy Gabe, who brought in the pastiquillos today that were delicious. Gabe, what is your takeaway of the day, my friend?
My takeaway of the day is that Trey is as good of a painter as advertised.
Aren't they nice portraits? Aren't they nice portraits?
Absolutely.
Sam, takeaway of the day?
My takeaway of the day is I bought a car yesterday. Shout out to Mike Wilkinson. But it was still the second best part of my day because Boston sucks.
Yes!
And the Sixers are great.
There you go. Thank you, Sam. Yes. Jamie Lynch, takeaway of the day?
Marcus Smart, now enemy of the state officially. And as Matt Cord said, he will be booed anytime he steps foot in Philadelphia soil. And I love it.
And I support that.
Yes.
Bob Cooney, takeaway of the day.
Eileen Lynch, I just want to say I am so happy that you realize that I am not the Robert Kraft creeper, but your son is.
That's nice.
And I'll take those underwears whenever.
There you go. Trey Thomas, takeaway of the day.
Hey, I'm glad we won. Big win.
My takeaway of
the day. Didn't cover, though, Trey.
Just yeah, they didn't cover.
My takeaway of the day will take us into this commercial break and up into, of course, Anthony Gargano and Jason Martinez middays here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Enjoy, everybody. Go Sixers.
Joel, he passes to Ben. Simmons down low. His back wrapped up by Tatum, but he put it in. Sixers down 39-32. Here's Embiid going right at Baines and a jump hook in the lane. He's a double figures of 11.
Oh, man. Smart knocked out Embiid. And Embiid is going after him. We got action here in the center. Here's Redick with another three. And that's good. A triple by Redick. Around it goes and in. Back-to-back threes by JJ. On the drive, Embiid is fouled by Tatum, and it's in. What a shot by Embiid. And he can tie the game. He gets up and looks to the crowd. And wags his index fingers.
I told Joe to please get me to the fourth quarter.
Jimmy Butler, the catch, the shot, the three is good. Jimmy Butler, baseline right by the Sixers bench, gets his first three. Back out to Ennis, up top Butler. Three ball, Jimmy Butler's up and goes. Jimmy Butler knocks down the three. Here's Butler on a drive, into the lane, left hand layup, good. He went right by Kyrie. Irving's looking at Forrest like, give me some help, man. It's Jimmy Butler. Here's
Back
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.